Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to another stop on our journey, beautiful journey with the Quran. And today, inshallah, we're going to be discussing Surah Yunus and Surah Hud, or at least part of Surah Hud. Surah Yunus and Surah Hud, both of them are Surah Makkiyah revealed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And the first Surah is named after a Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Yunus ibn Matta alayhi salatu wassalam. We heard in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam the first time about Sayyidina Yunus ibn Matta when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the Meccan period of Islam, when he sallallahu alayhi wasallam invited Quraysh, and Quraysh rejected the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so he tried to expand his base and move the da'wah to another village not too far away from Mecca, and that was At-Ta'if. The tribe that lives in At-Ta'if was one of the strong tribes of Arabia, that was Taqif. And when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled that arduous journey in the mountains, going uphill in the mountains, going to Taqif, they unfortunately received him in the worst possible way. The leaders of Taqif mistreated the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and insulted him, and they incited their fools and their children to throw rocks and stones at the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until they were bleeding. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was seeking refuge in a garden that he found, and that garden actually belonged to two of the leaders of Quraysh, Utba ibn Rabi'a and Shayba ibn Rabi'a. Later on, these two leaders would be killed in the Battle of Badr as heads of the army of disbelief. But even these two non-believers, their hearts were soft when they saw the condition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how tired and exhausted he was sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with blood coming out of his feet. So they called one of their servants in one of their gardens, and they told him, his name was Addas, that servant's name was Addas. They told him, Addas, take this plate of grapes to this man over there. Not knowing who that man was, Addas took the plate of grapes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who appreciated this nice gesture. And before eating, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Addas was not from that area. Addas actually was originally from Iraq, from the city of Nainawa. So when he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, that was an odd sight to him. He has never heard anyone saying that before. So he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what are you saying? What is that Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not waste any opportunity to invite people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he started asking Addas, where are you from? He noticed that he was sort of a foreigner from this area. He's not from this area. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, where are you from? He said, I'm from a far land, from Nainawa in Iraq. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Nainawa, this is the city of the pious servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Yunus ibn Matta. So Addas asked him, and how do you know about Yunus ibn Matta? How have you heard about him? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, well, he is a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I am also a prophet from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he started telling him about Islam. Addas was a Christian, and as soon as he heard what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying, he recognized that this is the truth. So he started kissing the hands and the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Utba and Shayba ibn Rabi'ah, watching that from a distance, called Addas immediately and asked him, what were you doing? Why were you doing that? And he told them, he told me about things only a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would know about. So Utba and Shayba told Addas, Addas, keep your faith to yourself. Your faith is better than his. Don't let him fool you or let him change your faith. That is the only time the name of Addas was mentioned in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed people about Sayyidina Yunus ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. We read in the Quran among the stories of the prophets, for example, in Surah Al-Anbiya and other surah, the mention of Sayyidina Yunus ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. And what was the story of Sayyidina Yunus? We know in very brief words, he was a great prophet and messenger. He was sent to his people and he invited them to Islam. And as usual, unfortunately, they rejected him. Ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. He tried as much as he could, but they kept rejecting him, to the effect that in the end he said, there's no hope in this village. Let me go and try to preach my call to another village. However, he was not commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not authorize him to move to another village or to another place and invite people to Islam. We know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after 13 years in Mecca to migrate to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was invited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on top of the mountain. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, in all of his different travels to from Iraq to Al-Sham to Al-Hijaz to Egypt, back to Al-Sham, Al-Quds, back to Al-Hijaz and so on, all of these were authorized by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, in this case, Sayyidina Yunus ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam rushed the affairs, and again, with his zeal to invite people to Islam, he thought that this village is hopeless. Let me move to another place and invite other people to Islam. Maybe they're going to respond. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed to teach him a lesson. And that lesson is, do not lose hope in these people until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you that these people are hopeless. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Sayyidina Nuh ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, this village is done with, they're not gonna believe in you, leave them alone and they're gonna be drowned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the same to Sayyidina Hud, Sayyidina Salih, Sayyidina Shu'aib, Sayyidina Lut. After they exhausted all of the efforts inviting their people to Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, well, their time is up, move to another place because they're going to be destroyed. That did not happen to the village of Sayyidina Yunus ala Nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam. So when he went on board of that ship, and we know what happened, the storm and the lots, when they wrote the names of the people who should be thrown off board and being swallowed by the whale, and then reminiscing in the belly of the whale and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying the beautiful dua, La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min al-zalimin. There's no Lord but you, O Allah. I have been oppressing myself by rushing and leaving without that authorization. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him. The amazing part, which is sort of unique among the different nations, is that the nation of Sayyidina Yunus ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, after he left, they woke up to their senses and they started asking, why did we do that to that nice person, that kind guy who invited us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And they regretted what they did. So in fact, after he left, they became believers. And when he came back, he found them to be believers. As if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again is reminding us, as usual, you are not responsible for the results. You are only responsible for the effort, but the hearts are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He subhanahu wa ta'ala can guide whomever He subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, and He subhanahu wa ta'ala can authorize whoever wants to stay astray if they do not strive to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So al-isti'jal, rushing, was the issue with Sayyidina Yunus ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. We notice in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, وَلَوْ يُعَجِّلُ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ الشَّرَّ اسْتِعْجَالَهُمْ بِالْخَيْرِ لَقُضِيَ إِلَيْهِمْ أَجَلُهُمْ فَنَذَرُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that rushing is not an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The contrary is true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-sabur. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's extremely patient, subhanahu wa ta'ala, infinite patience. And were it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would rush the punishment for his servants as they rush trying to get the good, the instant gratification that they're trying to get, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wouldn't have left on the face of this earth any living soul. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for a wisdom that He subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, extends their lives, gives them chances once, twice, and more. If they wake up to their senses and they return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He subhanahu wa ta'ala with His mercy would accept them. But if they don't, then all of these chances are gonna count against them, and this would be the imla of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa umli lahum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them an extension of time. If they misuse that extension of time, it's gonna be more sins that they're going to be acquiring. So one of the main meanings in Surah Yunus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, do not rush things. Things come at the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides, not at the time of your own design, not at the time of your own volition. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, as we mentioned before, about the dua, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the meaning of the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept one, the supplication of one of you, as long as he or she does not ask for anything that's sinful or resulting in cutting the ties of kinship, or they do not rush Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا لَمْ يَسْتَعْجِلْ. And when the companions asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is rushing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they would say, I have asked and I've asked and I have not seen a result of my supplication. So they would abandon that supplication. Patience is a great virtue, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always praises as-sabirin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah gives us beautiful attributes of His. Again, many of the ayat are talking about the unique powers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna rabbakumullahu alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-arda fi sittati ayyam thumma istawa 'ala al-'arsh yudabbiru al-amr ما من شفيع إلا من بعد إذنه ذلكم الله ربكم فاعبدوه أفلا تذكرون إليه مرجعكم جميعا وعد الله حقا إنه يبدأ الخلق ثم يعيده ليجزي الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات بالقسط والذين كفروا لهم شراب من حميم وعذاب أليم بما كانوا يكفرون. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that He subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And there's definitely a wisdom. We do not understand it. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always telling us about that order of the creation of the heavens and the earth. And that it took 6 days. How long are these 6 days? They're not like our days, 24 hours. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention that? We know that the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to create something, it can be created instantly without any time. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِنَّمَا قَوْلُهُ إِنَّمَا قَوْلُنَا لِشَيْءٍ إِذَا أَرَدْنَاهُ أَن نَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. And in the other ayah, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Things happen just by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He tells things be and they become. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for a wisdom that He subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, is telling us that He created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Now, we are not like some of the family of the scripture who unfortunately have modified their books and falsified their books and claim that after saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, they claim ta'ala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yasifun and rested on the seventh day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala la ta'khuduhu sinatun wa la nawm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need any rest. He subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need anything. We humans are in need. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in no need. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, taking us to a scene from the Day of Judgment before it starts. إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَاءٍ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فاختلط به نبات الأرض مما يأكل الناس والأنعام حتى إذا أخذت الأرض زخرفها وزينت وظن أهلها أنهم قادرون عليها أتاها أمرنا ليلا أو نهارا فجعلناها حصيدا كأن لم تغن بالأمس كذلك نفصل الآيات لقوم يتفكرون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us and telling us that life on this earth is just like a second, like a blink of an eye. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the example that the simile of life on this earth is like rain that came from the heavens and fell on fertile soil. And this soil started growing plants, and people and cattle and animals started eating from these plants and enjoying these plants, which is similar to our enjoyment of the earth right now. Until the earth is in its top of it, the peak of its beauty, the peak of its ornament, حَتَّى إِذَا أَخَذَتِ الْأَرْضُ زُخْرُفَهَا وَزَيَّنَتْ. And people think mistakenly that they are in control. They can think that they can control everything on this earth. They control the weather, they control the plants, they can control the different resources. It is at that time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala authorizes the life on this earth to end. أَتَاهَا أَمْرُنَا لَيْلًا أَوْ نَهَارًا. The command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for life to end can come in a day or a day on it during the day or at night. And we know, of course, that subhanallah, probably at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people did not know the fact of the earth being round and people living in different time zones, that it would be a day in a certain area and it would be night in another area. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَتَاهَا أَمْرُنَا لَيْلًا أَوْ نَهَارًا. It's the same time, the same moment, with which would be night in a certain location and day in another location. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a very beautiful ayah about spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَةً وَلَا يَرْهَقُ وُجُوهَهُمْ قَتَرٌ وَلَا ذِلَّةٌ أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Not only spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but doing any good deeds for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَحْسَنُوا. Those who try to perfect their deeds. Whatever they do, they try to do it in an excellent way, in the best possible way. If they speak, they try to choose their words. If they treat people, they try to treat them in the best possible way. When they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is ihsan in their worship. And ihsan, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam identified it, أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you are physically seeing Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you do not see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will not see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this earthly life, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees us all the time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about three different categories in the Quran. These three different categories share one description. لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. We find in Surah Al-Baqarah, in two close ayat, ayah 264 and 272, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about those who spend their money for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Day or night, يُنفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ. They spend it in public and in private, day and night. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commends these people and praises these people and gives them the good news. لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. They should not have any fear, and on the day of judgment they will not have any sadness. They're only going to see good things for that expenditure that they have made in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we move to Surah Ali Imran, and we find the beautiful ayah, ولا تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله أمواتا بل أحياء عند ربهم يرزقون فرحين بما آتاهم الله من فضله واستبشرون بالذين لم يلحقوا بهم من خلفهم ألا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. So again, لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. No fear, no worry comes in this time in the description of الشهداء, the martyrs. So we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevating those who spend day and night for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the company of the martyrs. Who else? What is the third group in that beautiful company? The allies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here in Surah Yunus comes the ayah, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. The allies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should not have any fear or any worry, and they're not going to see any sadness on the Day of Judgment. Who are the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Those who have declared faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and lived a life to prove that faith, life of mindfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, life of observance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, putting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before anything that they do and seeing what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about that thing. Should I do it this way or shouldn't I do it that way? So again, this mindfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the alliance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ وَلِيُّنَا اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the believers, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, that your ally is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his messenger, and the believers. Do not take allies who are against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who align themselves against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you choose on which side you are. And if you choose the right side and you choose that alliance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reward is لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. Getting to the end of Surah Yunus, and again the surah is full of ayat talking about the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ألا إن لله من في السماوات ومن في الأرض. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belong everything that is in the heavens and in the earth. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in another ayah in Surah Maryam, that everything in the heavens and the earth comes as slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a difference between a slave and a servant. The slave is a slave by compulsion. They do not, and everyone is a slave by compulsion. We are all abid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, not everyone is among the ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ibad are the ones who voluntarily select to serve that great master subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, the only master, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Yunus, towards the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the story of two of his great prophets. And these are Sayyidina Nuh and Sayyidina Musa ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. And all the prophets are great, by the way. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also ranked the prophets ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. So there's a certain group of five, Ulil Azm min al-Rusul, the ones with the great might. And these are Sayyidina Nuh, Sayyidina Ibrahim, Sayyidina Musa, Sayyidina Isa, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam ajma'in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us another chapter of the story of Sayyidina Musa that again goes very well with the general meaning of the surah, which is not to rush things and that things come only at the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides. In the story of Sayyidina Musa ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam with Fir'aun, there's a very interesting thing that you might notice if you do some quick math. For how long did Sayyidina Musa preach Islam? For how long did Fir'aun practice his tyranny? We find in Surah Al-Qasas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us about the birth of Sayyidina Musa ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. The surah starts with the ayat talking about the tyranny of Fir'aun, إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ عَلَى فِي الْأَرْضِ وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَهَا شِيَعًا, that Fir'aun is already a full-fledged tyrant, that he discriminates against certain groups of people, he kills those, he imprisons those, he enslaves those, and so on. He claimed that he is the Lord, he claimed to be the Supreme Lord. That was before the birth of Sayyidina Musa ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam. So he is in full power and full tyranny before the birth of Sayyidina Musa ala Nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam. Sayyidina Musa is born. Let's count together. Sayyidina Musa lived in the house of Fir'aun for a number of years. And then he escaped from Egypt. And then he received wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Usually the prophets in general, not all of them, but in general, they received the wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the age of 40. and it comes in Surah Al-Qasas, حتى إذا بلغ أشده واستوى آتيناه حكما وعلما. الاستواء, which is the age of full maturity in this case, is the age of 40, as Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم received the wahi at the age of 40. So Sayyidina Musa became a prophet at the age of 40. And then he came back to Egypt to confront Fir'aun, to try to invite him to Islam. And that definitely took some time. It took, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only knows how long did that take. Did it take a few months? Did it take a few years? Until Fir'aun got so frustrated with Sayyidina Musa and decided to try to kill him or to challenge him. And then the confrontation between Sayyidina Musa and Fir'aun happened. Now, when did that confrontation happen? Actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a glimpse. When Fir'aun showed the maximum of his tyranny by oppressing the servants of Sayyidina Musa and trying to kill Sayyidina Musa, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested his civilization with the different ayat, At-Tufan, Wal-Jarad, Wal-Qummal, Wal-Dhafadi' Wal-Dam, the different signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent to punish the people of Fir'aun so that they wake up to their senses, not to destroy them, but to awaken them, flooding, Jarad, the locusts or the grasshoppers that ate their crops, Dafadi', the frogs that were so abundant to the extent that they say if someone tried to open their mouth to speak, a frog would jump into their mouth, Wal-Qummal, the head lice, which is a nasty feeling for someone to feel always dirty and itchy with the head lice and so on. With them, even their waters turned into blood and they started spilling blood and so on. All of these were signs to Allah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them to wake up to their senses. And when they found that they're defenseless in front of these tests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they told Sayyidina Musa, أُدْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ بِمَا عَهِدَ عِنْدَكَ. Ask your Lord. Since we tried everything and it didn't work, let's try you this time. You claim to be a prophet. Ask your Lord to relieve this hardship. And when Sayyidina Musa ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam supplicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lifted that punishment temporarily, they went back into disbelief. And that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. This took a period of time, a long time. In fact, many of the scholars here talk about this ayah that comes in Surah Yunus. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى وَأَخِيهِ أَن تَبَوَّأَ لِقَوْمِكُمَا بِمِصْرَ بُيُوتًا وَاجْعَلُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ قِبْلَةً وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. When Sayyidina Musa got completely frustrated with Fir'aun after these different attempts, and after Fir'aun reneging on his promise to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Sayyidina Musa to tell his followers to start supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their own homes and to make these homes a destination for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to direct themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their worship. Sayyidina Musa made a dua, which is a very strong dua. وَقَالَ مُوسَى رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ آتَيْتَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَأَهُ زِينَةً وَأَمْوَالًا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا رَبَّنَا لِيُضِلُّ عَنْ سَبِيلِكَ رَبَّنَا اطْمِسْ عَلَى أَمْوَالِهِمْ وَاشْدُدْ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ فَلَا يُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى يَرَوْا الْعَذَابَ الْأَلِيمَ. Oh Allah, Sayyidina Musa is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, you have given Fir'aun and his people zina, beauty, وَأَمْوَالًا, and a lot of wealth, فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, on this earth, in this earthly life. What did they do with these gifts and bounties? رَبَّنَا لِيُضِلُّ عَنْ سَبِيلِكَ. They have misused them to set people astray from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here comes the supplication of Sayyidina Musa, رَبَّنَا اطْمِسْ عَلَى أَمْوَالِهِمْ. Oh Allah, lock on these wealths and this money so that they cannot benefit from it. وَاشْدُدْ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ, and lock their hearts so that they do not see the truth, they do not see the light. They have been fighting that guidance for so long. فَلَا يُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى يَرَوْا الْعَذَابَ الْأَلِيمِ, so that they do not believe until they see the severe punishment. Now we look at the supplications of the different prophets in the Quran. We find, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking about these five ulil azm min al-rusul, He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is categorizing them into two groups. Sayyidina Nuh and Sayyidina Musa on one side. Sayyidina Nuh, again, when he got frustrated with his people, he made the supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا إِنَّكَ إِنْ تَذَرْهُمْ يُضِلُّ عِبَادَكَ وَلَا يَلِدُ إِلَّا فَاجِرًا كَفَّارًا. O Allah, do not leave on the face of this earth any household of disbelief. Because if you let them live, they're going to spread corruption on the face of this earth, and they're going to bring or beget people or children who are going to be like them away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sayyidina Nuh asked for the destruction of the non-believers. And so did Sayyidina Musa ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, as it appears in this ayah. Sayyidina Ibrahim ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, on the other hand, was asking always for forgiveness and for renewed chances. Sayyidina Isa ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, again, is asking for renewed chances and for forgiveness. إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكْ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. If you punish them, they deserve it. They are your slave, your servants. But if you forgive them, you are Al-Aziz Al-Hakim, the most wise, the most mighty, the most honorable, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we can see two sides, the lenient side and the hard side. And it is justified in both cases, by the way. We're not saying that one side is better than the other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gave the idea to these great prophets and messengers what words to say and what supplication to make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On which side is he going to be? On the side of Sayyidina Ibrahim and Sayyidina Isa, or the side of Sayyidina Nuh and Sayyidina Musa ala Nabina alayhi salatu alayhi wa salatu wa salam? We find that again in the story of Addas that we started with, the story of Sayyidina Yunus when he told Addas about it. When the Prophet ﷺ was on his way back from At-Ta'if after that bad treatment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the opportunity to avenge himself and to get the revenge on these bad people of At-Ta'if. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the angel of the mountains to Rasulullah ﷺ after he made his beautiful supplication, Allahumma ilayka ashku da'fa quwwati wa qillata hilati wa awani 'ala an-nas. Inshallah, at another time we're going to talk about this beautiful, beautiful supplication. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the angel of the mountains to Rasulullah ﷺ and told him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent me to follow your command. If you want, I can collide these two mountains to destroy this whole village that mistreated you. Just give me the command and I'm gonna do it. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, don't. I have hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get from their offspring people who would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not associate anything or anyone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Nuh was afraid that the offspring is gonna be as bad as the parents. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, always hopeful, was hopeful that even if this generation is not going to embrace Islam, maybe the future generations are going to see the light and come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With the patience and the soft-heartedness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought this village to Islam in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one of the leaders who insulted the Prophet ﷺ initially, later on came to embrace Islam. And in fact, he went back to his village to invite them to Islam. Urwa ibn Mas'ud al-Thaqafi radiallahu anhu, after having fought the Prophet ﷺ for so many years, he went back to invite his people to Islam, and they killed him. And Rasulullah ﷺ called him كَصَاحِبِ يَسِينَ. He's like the man mentioned in Surah Yasin, Habib al-Najjar, who went and invited his people to Islam, and he paid the price with his life when they rejected him and they killed him. So some of the scholars say that this confrontation between Sayyidina Musa and Fir'aun, after Sayyidina Musa made that supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبَّنَا اطْمِسْ عَلَىٰ أَمْوَالِهِمْ وَاشْدُدْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ فَلَا يُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى يَرَوْا الْعَذَابَ الْأَلِيمِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Sayyidina Musa and Sayyidina Harun, قال قد أجيبت دعوتكما. Your supplication has been heard and has been granted, which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill your wish. Their wealth is going to be locked. Their hearts are going to be locked. They will not believe until they see the horrible punishment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Sayyidina Musa and Sayyidina Harun, فَاسْتَقِيمَا. So stay the course. Remain on that straight path. وَلَا تَتَّبِعَانِّ سَبِيلَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. And do not follow the path of those who do not know. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the crossing of the sea of Sayyidina Musa ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam with his followers and the destruction of Fir'aun. Now some scholars say that between the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Sayyidina Musa, قَالَ قَدْ أُجِيبَتْ دَعْوَتُكُمَا, and that final confrontation in which Fir'aun and his people, his army, drowned, some scholars say there was 40 years. 40 years. Now add that to the time that we talked about. We talked about 40 years from the time that Sayyidina Musa was born to the time that he was called by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go back and warn Fir'aun. So that's 40 years. He stayed in Egypt for certain number of years inviting Fir'aun, and then he got frustrated and disappointed from these people, so he made the supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Musa would not do that in a short time. He's very patient. He took his time and tried every opportunity. So at least, let's say 10 years, 40 years plus 10 years plus another 40 years, we're talking about almost 90 years. 90 years of the tyranny of Fir'aun from the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ عَلَى فِي الْأَرْضِ وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَهَا شِيعًا. He was a declared tyrant by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a glimpse of an example of the patience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the forbearance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Halim subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he gave Fir'aun multiple chances, but in the end, he exhausted all of these chances. And when it came time for him to drown, Fir'aun, who has been claiming that he's the Lord and the Supreme Lord and the only Lord, now upon seeing death impending and imminent, he said, حَتَّى إِذَا أَدْرَكَهُ الْغَرَقُ قَالَ آمَنْتُ. When he was about to drown, he said, آمنت, I believe, أنه لا إله إلا, that there's no Lord but. He has never said Allah in his life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not grant him the opportunity to say La ilaha illallah. He tried to search in his mind, who is that Lord that Musa has been talking about? What is the name of that God that Musa has been talking about? And he couldn't find it, because he had deaf ears to listening to the guidance coming from Sayyidina Musa. قَالَ آمَنْتُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا الَّذِي آمَنَتْ بِهِ بَنُوا إِسْرَائِيلِ. I believe that there's no Lord but the one that Bani Israel believe in. وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And I'm a believer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, الآن, now, after all these years, الآن وَقَدْ عَصَيْتَ قَبْلُ وَكُنْتَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Too late. You exhausted all of your chances, so now this does not count. You are seeing death on top of your head. It's too late. You don't have any second chances now. الآن وقد عصيت قبل وكنت من المفسدين فاليوم ننجيك ببدنك لتكون لمن خلفك آية وإن كثيرا من الناس عن آياتنا لغافلون. We are gonna save your body so that people can see your dead body that has been destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they would recognize for sure that you are not a Lord, you're not a God, you're not immortal, and here's your body that people can see, so that they would not be confused in your nature, whether you are a Lord or not. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ayat of Surah Yunus are very beautiful. All of the ayat are beautiful. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the end of the surah, is telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, remember this surah was revealed in Mecca when the Muslims were being tortured and oppressed and so on. So there's a certain similarity between their treatment in Mecca by the non-believers and the treatment of Bani Israel under Fir'aun. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ وَإِن يُرِدْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ يُصِيبُ بِهِ مَن يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. If you are inflicted by a hardship, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can repel it from you. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for you, no one can deprive you from that good. فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ. No one can remove that away from you. يُصِيبُ بِهِ مَن يَشَاءُ. This good or even this punishment are inflicted or given to whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. يُصِيبُ بِهِ مَن يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. This bounty, this khayr that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is given to the deserving servants of that khayr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the all-forgiving, He is the all-merciful subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the end, the final conclusion comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the command came to Sayyidina Musa ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam and his brother Sayyidina Harun, فَاسْتَقِيمَا وَلَا تَتَّبِعَانِي سَبِيلَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Stay the course, stay on the right path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَاتَّبِعْ مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ وَاصْبِرْ حَتَّى يَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. Follow the guidance that you have received from your Lord and endure patience until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala separates between you and the non-believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges and separates between the truth and the falsehood. وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. And He is the best wise subhanahu wa ta'ala and the best judge subhanahu wa ta'ala, the judge, the justice subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are some of the beautiful ayat of Surah Yunus. Again, the reminder is, endure patience, do not rush things. And if there's one meaning that we would remember from the name of Sayyidina Yunus, who was mentioned, by the way, very briefly, only once in the surah, فَلَوْلَا كَانَتْ قَرْيَةٌ آمَنَتْ فَنَفْعَهَا إِيمَانُهَا إِلَّا قَوْمَ يُونُسِ لَمَّا آمَنُوا كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُمْ عَذَابَ الْخِزِي وَمَتَّعْنَاهُمْ إِلَى حِينَ. So again, it comes very briefly. فَلَوْلَا كَانَتْ قَرْيَةٌ آمَنَتْ فَنَفْعَ إِيمَانُهَا إِلَّا قَوْمَ يُونُسَ لَمَّا آمَنُوا كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُمْ عَذَابَ الْخِزِي فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَمَتَّعْنَاهُمْ إِلَى حِينَ. So again, remember when you read Surah Yunus that patience is a great virtue. Do not rush with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not ask for things prematurely. And when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be persistent and be patient and expect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you what you're asking for and will fulfill your supplication. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who are patient and those who show perseverance in their worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in their obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, next time we're going to talk about Surah Hud, but briefly, just as an introduction, again, Surah Hud is another beautiful Surah Makkiyah revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mecca al-Mukarramah. And Hud is the Prophet of Allah ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, who was sent to the village of Ad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about his story. And again, in this surah, this is one of the surah that have the different cycles of civilization, of faith coming through the prophets and disbelief from their followers, and then a few would embrace faith with the prophets and be saved, and the majority would be destroyed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again tells us about the story of Sayyidina Nuh, and then Sayyidina Hud, and then Sayyidina Salih, and then Sayyidina Ibrahim, Sayyidina Lut, and Sayyidina Shu'aib, and finally about Sayyidina Musa ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, one more time very briefly. And then the command comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You are receiving these stories of the different prophets and messengers. One of the main purposes of these stories is not just for entertainment, but to show you that what you're facing is nothing new. This is the nature of things. This is sunnatullahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sunnah, the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the truth is scarce and falsehood is more numerous and sometimes stronger, or appears to be stronger, but ultimately the truth prevails and falsehood disappears, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. Falsehood is going to evaporate, is going to be extinguished, is going to disappear, is going to be shattered, but the truth is going to stay, is going to remain. So the command comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the wisdom of this whole surah, فَصْبِرْ. Always we find, after telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the plight of other prophets and messengers, the command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is an informative process for you. So the wisdom that you should get from it is, فَصْبِرْ, endure patience. You are on the right path. Do not change course. Stay the course, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ultimately give you victory, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala time and again gave victory to all of these prophets and messengers. Ala nabina wa alayhim as-salatu wasalam. Inshallah, tomorrow we're going to talk in more detail about Surah Hud, and mention some significance that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam talked about in this surah. So until tomorrow, inshallah, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.